King. Today, I want to take for a few moments and talking about raising the flag of celebration. This should be something that we're second nature at in a Pentecostal church like we have. We understand what it's like to run the aisles and to jump up and down and to hoot and holler and to raise our hands in victory and praise. However, what bothers me most is that while we are willing to celebrate in an altar, or celebrate during worship, or celebrate during a revival, when we walk out of the church, when we leave the surroundings of the building, as much as any other people on earth, us Pentecostal people tend to walk out the door, "I'm just suffering for Jesus." We have no celebration. We get to the place that celebration and a glad, happy heart and a jovial spirit gets looked at as immature. For some reason, in the Pentecostal church, as much as any place else, if you're truly spiritual, you're always serious. All I got to say is I don't know how spiritual I am in your mindset then. I just sprayed silly string in the sanctuary. Now, I got news for you. I got news for you. When we come into life and we understand who Christ is in us, it's time to raise the flag of celebration. Because we begin to understand that everything we have is a celebration. I am not a morning person. If you want to annoy me, call me at 8 o'clock in the morning and tell me that the roads are slick. Oh, wait, did that happen today? The only thing would have been worse if he had called me at 7, because at 7 I wouldn't have been awake. At least at 8, I was awake. But I didn't know it snowed yet. Pastor Brian called me this morning, 8 o'clock, told me, "Be careful coming in, the roads are slick." I didn't know it snowed. I was like, okay. He knows what that means. Okay. He says okay means bye. Okay. And I'm sitting there. I'm awake, but I'm sitting there on my bed still. I'm like, why did he call to tell me that the roads are slick? And then when I walked into the other room and I could see out a window, I went, "Oh, it snowed. When did that happen?" Now, I say all that. Say, I'm not a morning person. I'm not normally jovial in the morning. Until I hit that spot that I realized that I woke up. I woke up alive this morning. Some kind of caffeine. It doesn't have to be. It's got to be something, though. I woke up alive this morning. Several years ago, I was living in Columbus, Ohio, and the actor-comedian Dom DeLuise passed away. And I honestly heard this on the news. The news anchor said Dom DeLuise was a really funny guy. Pastor Anna's over here going, "Who's Dom DeLuise?" Babies. Babies in the church. Anyway. I actually heard the newscaster say this. As I was watching news, it says, actor-comedian Dom DeLuise woke up dead this morning. The Now, I'm going to tell you right now, that's a bad way to wake up. And from that point on, I have realized that if I wake up alive, I can celebrate. I can celebrate more and more and more. If I wake up, I wake up and I can actually get my knees to operate to move me from my bedroom, I celebrate. We have got to understand that the power of God has moved in us, and it's time that we raise the flag of celebration. I want you to open your Bible with me this morning. Amen. Celebrating reading the Word. We're going to look at Isaiah chapter 63, excuse me, chapter 62, verses 10 and 11. I'm actually going to read it from the screen because I want to read it in the New Living Translation. It says, "Go out through the gates, prepare the highway for my people to return. Smooth out the road, pull out the boulders. Raise a flag for all the nations to see. The Lord has sent this message to every land. Tell the people of Israel, look, your Savior is coming. See, he brings his reward with him as he comes." Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I come to you right now and I give you glory and I give you praise and I give you honor. And Lord, today I've come by this house to celebrate your power, to celebrate your existence, to celebrate your soon coming return into our world, Lord Jesus, to take me to be with you. Lord, I pray that as I speak these words, Lord, that you would get me out of the way, get my inadequacies out of the way, get my personality out of the way, Lord Jesus, and you speak directly into the hearts and lives of every ear that hears this message. Lord, I give you glory, I give you honor, and I give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated tonight. Today, well, we ain't done yet. as I began to read this passage of Scripture, and I began to think about Missions Month, last week we talked about raising the flag of preparation. And we talked about making level the road, building up the road and removing the boulders. And I can't believe I didn't think about this last week. This thought just hit my mind. You know, when you talk about raising the flag of preparation, and I mentioned this last week, half our church works for MoDOT, and many of them are even here today, which is awesome. But you know, when they work on a highway, you know the first person you come against when there's a crew working on the highway is a flagman. And he's waving a flag of caution and waving a flag of preparation. You need to be prepared because there's construction. Boy, that would have preached last week, man. Maybe, let's just go back and preach it. No, anyway. But we talked about that flag of preparation. And when I think about missions work and when I think about going on missions trips, I think about the preparation. I think about the fundraising, which is the part I don't like. It's tough. It's hard. I think about the preparing the sermons, preparing the lessons. I was talking with Becky this week, and Michael and I and Becky went to China this last summer, and I was telling her it was one of the most awesome trips I've ever had because I wasn't in charge. And I wasn't even teaching. I just helped her. She did all the work. I just sort of like, okay, what do you want to do? Oh, you want me to wear a squid hat? I was a squid, wasn't I? Yeah. Yes, I played the fool very well. I wore a squid hat. There are pictures all over Sichuan, Mazu City, China right now of this big, goofy-looking dude with a squid hat on and his son with a shark eating his head and carrying around a blow-up dolphin that didn't have a dorsal fin that we called Finny. Oh, he was a shark. He wasn't a dolphin. He was a shark. And I mean, everywhere we go around those kids, when the families would come pick them up, they would want pictures. And I'm like, I'm going to have this stupid reputation. Well, I guess it wouldn't only be in China. But anyway, But all the preparation that went into all that. When we got there, as I mentioned last week, we spent a week training. We spent a week laying out the classes, getting the ideas. When we got to Mazoo City, we spent the first day blow up sharks. I should have thought to put a picture up, but we had all these huge pool float sharks. Some of them 4 and 5 feet long. It was a lot of preparation. And that was all great, but I'm going to tell you what was fantastic was when all of a sudden you begin to hear something from the classroom. And you go out on the balcony and there is 325 children in lines in a breezeway. And they're singing the camp song. And they're excited. And when they get led to that classroom, and, oh man, we need to take some American kids over there and show them how to walk perfectly in line as first graders. They walk in that room, and their eyes got big at the sharks. And that weird, super tall guy wearing a squid that went another 2 feet above his head, on top of his head. And their eyes are huge. And their eyes are in wonder and wonderment. And all of a sudden, they walk in that room and you take that little shark that doesn't have a fin on it that we called Finny, and I tap them on the head with it. And they begin to celebrate. The celebration, before we got to the lesson, the celebration of these kids, these students, that we were there. They celebrated. I remember other mission trips that I've been on. The other time I went to China, I preached, and we would go into churches, and when we would walk in, they would begin. Smiles come on their face. Somebody from America cared enough to come here, and they would celebrate. When we went to Scotland, when we walked in that building that we were going to fix up, and they showed us around, and you could see a look of relief on their face. Help had come. When we finished the trip in Scotland and we had painted the floors and we had cleaned the doors and we had done all this work, they had working bathrooms that they didn't have when we got there. And all of a sudden, we finished and they celebrated. They threw us a party. They gave us paintings. They celebrated. And in thinking about those celebrations and thinking about Mission Month, I begin to think that we've got to raise the flag of celebration. Celebration in our lives. Celebration in our hearts. Not just for missions, but for life. Isaiah here is writing. And he says, in the New King James Version, he says, lift up a banner for the people. That's the end of verse number 10. Indeed, the Lord is proclaimed to the end of the word. Say to the daughter of Zion, surely your salvation is coming. Let me tell you something. Isaiah begins to write about a celebration. He starts by saying, raise the flag. Raise the banner. We have got to come to the place that we raise the flag of celebration. It is time to give glory and honor to Jesus. It is time to celebrate who God is. Oh, on Flag Day, we raise the flag, the American flag. On the 4th of July, we raise the American flag. And we celebrate that we are Americans. And I love those holidays. But I'm looking for the day that men and women of God, men and women of the church, begin to raise the flag of God's power. They begin to raise the flag of God's acceptance. And we begin to tell everybody, I got news for you. I have been bought with a price. I am holy unto the Lord. I have raised my flag. Well, I gave my heart to the Lord. And I got religion. Now I can't do anything. If it was fun, we can't do it no more. I'm not my own. I have to do what God says. Come on, people. We have been given life. We have been given hope. We have been given peace and victory. We need to come to a place that we celebrate the presence of God. I don't care if you're going to break an alabaster box and pour out the oil as celebration that you are with the King of Kings or the Lord of Lords. I don't care if you're going to go as Solomon did in 2 Chronicles chapter 1 and take 1,000 items to the altar and sacrifice it as an offering to the Lord. I don't care how you want to celebrate. I don't care if you're in a boat and you look out over to the bank and all of a sudden you see somebody saying, come on in and eat. And you realize that that's Jesus. Peter knew how to celebrate. You know what Peter did? Peter went, Jesus! And he jumped in the water. Threw his coat off. Threw his clothes off, actually, when you read the Bible. He got wild. He got wild. I'll tell you something. When we see Jesus, we need to celebrate. When we see the power of God, we need to raise the flag. It's party time. It's time to celebrate. Oh. I remember being a kid. I can still remember that. In Oklahoma and Texas, there was a restaurant, a Mexican food restaurant called Poncho's. Anybody ever been south or where you been to Poncho's? Yeah. Love me some Poncho's now. Looking back, the food was probably only so-so, but I thought it was incredible, okay? But Poncho's had the best sopapillas I had ever and have ever had. They're sopapillas, and if you don't know what a sopapilla is, it's like a fried bread puffed up whole in the, all empty in the middle. And you rip the corner off, and you take you some honey, and you fill that baby up with honey. And you eat that sopapilla. Somebody feeling the spirit now. But you know what happens? You know what happens at Poncho's? They bring you, oh yeah, they're served warm. They're served warm. And you know what happens at Poncho's? They bring you a basket of sopapillas. And when you're out of sopapillas, there's a little flag on the table. And you raise that flag up and say, I want some more party food. And they bring you more sopapillas. Raise the flag, folks. I need more of God. I got up this morning. I don't know how good I feel. I'm going to raise the flag of celebration. Because when that sopapilla shows up, I'm going to celebrate. When the power of God shows up, I'm going to celebrate. I'm going to celebrate His power. When I lived in Maryland, man, I must be hungry. When I lived in Maryland, I went to some restaurant. I can't even remember the name of it. But it was a meat eater's paradise. If you're a vegetarian, you would hate this place. But you got there and you went through a buffet to get your vegetables. Okay? And there was no meat on the buffet, just vegetables. But then when you sat down at the table, that walk around with carts that have everything from steaks to roasts to ham to pork to all kinds of. And as you would get your meat, you'd take whatever you wanted. You'd sit there and eat. When you finished eating your meat and you wanted some more meat, they had a flag on the table. Raise that flag up and they'd bring you more meat. Oh, let me tell you something. Some of us need to understand that we get in the Word of God and we've worshiped and we prayed. Oh, but now it's time that we need to raise a flag of celebration and let God bring the meat of His Word into our life. See, I'm talking about it's time to raise the flag. It's time to quit moping and whining and complaining and wonder what's wrong and why can't I make it through the day, and say, I'm going to raise the flag of celebration. My plate might be empty right now, but if I'll raise the flag, the praise, the celebration, the power will come. We got to raise the flag. You know what happens when you raise the flag? You quit hiding. I'm glad you brought decorations. See, I can hide up here. I can just, but all of a sudden when I start raising the flag, everybody begins to see me. Everybody knows I'm there. All of a sudden, we begin to make a spectacle of ourselves. Oh, come on now. Some of us don't get victory in God because we're afraid to raise the flag and let people see us. We're afraid to lift Him up. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. We've got to lift Him up. We got to give Him praise. We got to give Him honor. We got to make sure that people see us. People know we're there. Sometimes we raise it with our hands. Sometimes we raise it with our voice. Yesterday I was at the bowling alley celebrating Embry's third birthday. And while I was there, Emma came in celebrating her birthday twice. Your second birthday, whatever. She's peace. Okay, she said peace. Okay. That's better than what she said yesterday. And I walked over to where she was, and I just walked over, and she's like looking at me. Like, and I walk over, and I put my arm around Emma. And I said, happy birthday to you. And everybody in the bowling alley went, and I'm holding Emma right here. Happy birthday to you. And I sang the whole song. There was a glow of red. And she looked at me after I finished singing, and she says, I hate you. I raised the flag of celebration. You see, I made sure that people understood that Emma was there to celebrate. You know what happens when we begin to raise the flag of praise? We begin to raise the flag of celebrating God's power and God's presence and God's provision and God's ability in our life. All of a sudden, everybody begins to realize that God is in the house and God is still God and God is able to do whatsoever we ask in His name. We got to raise the flag. Look at this. Isaiah doesn't stop there, though. He says, go tell the people. Go tell the people. You ever had a party? And you didn't tell anybody? That ain't much of a party then, is it? What would happen? What would happen if I were to say, we're going to add a second service on Sunday morning at 8 o'clock in the morning. I don't know if God will be there because I'm not sure He's up at 8. But we're going to have an 8 o'clock service. But what would happen if I was the only person I told? If I didn't announce it, if I didn't tell the people, then I'd be here at 8 o'clock going, why ain't nobody here? You ain't getting it. We live lives that God has bought, that God has saved, that God has protected, and we don't tell anybody. Well, if they figure it out, that's okay, but I'm just not going to be broadcasting it. Oh, no, 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 no. It's time to raise the flag of celebration and go tell the people. Well, why are you so happy when it's so nasty outside? Oh, because I got sunshine on a cloudy day. When it's cold outside, I got the month of May, and it ain't no girl that did that to me. But it's my Lord and Savior. If we don't tell people what God is doing, if we don't testify, how many of you have been around church long enough to remember testimony services before they went bad? I remember the good ones, the old ones. You know, the old ones where Sister Mary, the church that I grew up in, would get up 89,000 years old. I don't know. She may have been 48, but to me, she was old. No, she was somewhere in her 80s. And she got up, and to a 10-year-old kid, I thought she could barely move. And she got up, and she'd say, never forget it, she'd stand up, hold that pew. And they'd always address whoever they were. It was leading testimony service. Many times in our church, it was Brother Dale Clifton. And she'd get up, she'd go, Brother Dale, I can't let an opportunity go by to thank Jesus that I woke up this morning. Brother Dale, I can't let a chance situation go by, a chance go by, to thank God that 55 years ago, Jesus saved me, and He filled me with the Holy Ghost, and He sanctified me. And little old Sister Mary, she'd start waving those arms. She could barely stand. You know what she was doing? She was celebrating. She was telling the people, oh, you got to know. You got to know. You're just babes. You're just children right now. You haven't been in this. You haven't walked the road that I've walked. But let me get up and testify for a second. It doesn't matter where I've been. God was there when I walked through the valley. God was there when I danced on the mountaintop. God was there when I went through the dark hours. God was my light. When I was in the spotlight of man's glory, God was my power. Remember when we used to tell each other. Now, we don't want to embarrass anyone. We don't want anybody looking at us. We don't want... We're afraid to testify about what God is doing because if people find out God healed us, they won't care about us anymore. Because our identity has been caught up in what was wrong instead of in Him. Our identity has been caught up in our disease, in our sickness, in our weakness, in our struggles. And we know that everybody's praying for us because we just can't quite make it. And we're afraid to tell them that God is healing us, that God is delivering us. Because if He knows we're healed, then they may not love us anymore. But I got news for you. My identity is not in my struggles. My identity is not in my weakness. I want to tell the people that my identity is in the blood of Jesus Christ. He says, I want you to go tell the people. It's time to sound the alarm. Oh, we had that word a few weeks ago. We got to sound the alarm. We got to make sure people hear us. We got to lift up our voices of praise. I used to be a young man. Used to. And when I was a young man, I was known for being loud. I know that's hard to believe. I was known for being just obnoxiously loud. I know that, again, that's hard to believe. And when I would walk into a youth party as a youth pastor, I'd walk in and I would do my laugh. And I'm not doing my laugh because I got a mic on. I'd break every speaker in the building. Many of you have heard it. If you haven't heard it, I have a laugh that I do. It's somewhere, but I don't even know what I would call it. But it's loud enough that I would go to high school football games with loaded stadiums. And I would do my laugh, and all my kids would come find me because everybody in the stadium would hear it. It's that loud. It's way loud. But I'd walk into a youth party and I'd do that laugh. I would just do my regular, tickle me Elmo laugh, and everybody knew I was there. I brought the party with me. I remember walking in place going, "Everybody celebrate, the party's here!" Because I was there. Brought the party with me. Then I quit being a youth pastor, and I became the senior pastor. And I got to be honest with you, first couple of adult gatherings that I went to, I was like a fish out of water. All of a sudden, I'm not on the youth board anymore in Missouri. Now I'm on the state council. And I walk into a state council. I go into youth board meetings. I was like, "Hey, guys, how you?" Go into a council meeting. I'm like, "Hello, gentlemen. Y'all having a blessed morning today, I hope." You know why? Because I got mature. I'll tell you something. Quit laughing at that. Let me tell you something. You know what our problem is in faith? Some of us have gotten so mature in the spirit that we've died. We don't tell the people anymore. We get quiet. "Well, I love Jesus." Man, I remember the days. "I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus. How about you?" And now, "I love Jesus. Let's be dignified." Man, I've been through the realm where they told me, and I fell for it for a number of years. Been through the realm where they told me, "Oh, don't let that Pentecostal stuff move on Sunday mornings. Stay dignified." Say, save that for small groups and Sunday nights. You don't want to scare people off. "Oh, I've come by here to tell you we're a Pentecostal, and I don't know about you, but I'm full of the Holy Ghost, and I don't care who knows it, and I'm going to shout, and I'm going to celebrate, and I'm going to clap my hands, and I'm going to wave my arms, and I'm going to speak in other tongues. I may even cut a little jig on the stage. I may gather up enough strength and go run around the outside of the church." That could be dangerous today. But I got news for you. I have been called to tell the people. But let me bring this down. Oh, man, I got to hurry. Let me bring this down. It's not just me that's being called to tell the people. You've been called to tell the people. You've been called to share. You've been called to celebrate. You've been called to lift up your voice because your redemption draweth nigh. But Isaiah doesn't leave us. Raise the flag, tell the people, but he tells us why. Your Savior is coming. Your Savior is coming. Let me tell you something. Your life may be tough right now. Maybe you've been fighting disease. Maybe you've been fighting depression. Maybe you've been fighting sorrow. Maybe you've been living in a world that nobody else can understand. Oh, but Jesus is coming. Oh, now let me tell you about Jesus coming. Oh, Jesus is coming. He is coming. He's coming back. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house were many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And if I go, I will return and receive you unto myself. He is coming. But I got another bit of good news for you. Jesus is coming. I see in my mind, weird that I said it that way, a man sitting on the side of the road, eyes blind from birth, asking for alms. Help a blind man, we help a blind man. We help a blind man. But all of a sudden, he hears a crowd. Everybody's muttering and talking. What's happening? Somebody tell me what's happening. Oh, just be quiet. Jesus is coming down the road. Who? Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus has done all the healing. Yeah, shh, be quiet. Don't bother him. Jesus! Jesus! Shh. You're making a scene. You're making a scene. Oh, I know I'm making a scene because I'm raising my flag. I'm telling the people, because Jesus is coming. And when Jesus hears the cry above the rumble of the blind man, Jesus comes to him and says, "What do you want from me?" He says, "That I may see." He says, "Your faith has made you whole. Be healed." And he opened his eyes. And Jesus had come by. Oh, maybe you would rather look at it this way. Woman that for 12 years has been unclean because of an issue of blood. Her bleeding never stopped. She was ceremonially unclean for 12 years. You know what that means? That means that for 12 years it was unlawful for anybody to touch her. It was unlawful for her to be in public. She could not go to the temple and worship. She had went to the doctor after doctor after doctor until she was broke and poor because the doctors had taken everything from her. Boy, that sounds familiar. But one day she heard Jesus was coming. And when Jesus was coming by, she illegally pushed her way through the crowd that she could just touch the tassel on the end of his prayer cloth. The hem of his garment, the tassel on the end of the cloth that the rabbi would use to pray under. If I can get to where he prays. And when she touched it, Jesus says, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" And she finally stood up and raised the flag of celebration and said, "I touched you." And he says, "Your healing has been made complete." Jesus is coming. Maybe you would rather think about the man who had been lame in his feet since he was born. He sat by the gate beautiful. And Jesus walked by on many occasions. And he still sat there. He heard Jesus had died on the cross. He still sat there. But one day, two of his disciples, Peter and John, walked by. And as he lifted up his cup and said, "Alms," Peter with John looked at him and said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And he jumped up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones regained strength. And the Bible says he went running and leaping and praising God into the temple. You know what he was doing? He was raising his flag because Jesus came by. Oh, it may not have been the body of Jesus. It was the spirit of Jesus. Why do I tell that story? Because it doesn't matter to me if Jesus physically walks in that door, because I know the power of the Holy Ghost, the healing power, the life-giving power, the delivering power of Jesus is coming by this house. Are we ready to raise the flag of celebration? I ask people all the time. I ask people all the time. You know how to celebrate God? Celebrate what He's given you. What would you do if somebody saved your life? You would honor them. You would, oh, you would be calling news. Oh, you got to know what they did for me. But yet Jesus saves our life and we won't tell nobody. What would you do if you had been sick and you went to a doctor and he gave you one shot? Bink! And everything got better. Man, you would be all over Facebook. You got to go see Dr. So-and-so. But yet, when God heals you, you don't say anything. Thank you, Jesus. What would you do? I guess he's probably dead now. I was going to say when Ed McMahon walked up to your house, but it's not him anymore. But what would you do if I think it's February the 23rd. According to TV commercials, somebody rung your doorbell and said, "You just won $5,000 a week for the rest of your life. Hopefully you pay your tithe." But okay. You would be, whoa! You ever watch America's Funniest Videos? They showed up at some dude's house and said he won some sweepstakes. $1 million, and he's dancing all over the place, and come to find out it was a joke. That was wrong. Let me tell you something. They come to your door and give you $1 million, it ain't gonna last forever. But when Jesus walks into your life and he makes you joint heirs with Christ, your father now owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. All the land of those hills and all the oil and gold inside those hills. And all of a sudden, you begin to realize that you've got the richest powers of God. You got the blessing. But yet we don't tell nobody. Why in the world do we come and we sit? How can we walk into the house of God and sit so quietly, quote unquote, reverently in the church that we fall asleep? I don't understand that. Because when you're moving in the power of God, when you're moving in the victory of God, oh, they begin to sing. They begin to sing, "I am not my own. I've been bought by. I am not defined by what men see." Oh, see, how in the world can we say, "I am not defined by what they see"? Oh, I'm not defined by men. I can't earn what he freely gives. And I can't undo what he's done for me. And all of a sudden, we begin to bring the party. We begin to celebrate. Why? Because we understand what God has done in our life. How in the world can we walk into the house of God and they bring an offering plate in front of us? And we go, "Well, I just don't think I can give anything today." when all the time God has given you a job and God has provided for you. And time after time after time when you had nothing, God gave you something. Oh, that offering plate comes in front of me and I'm like, oh, let me give a little more. Let me give a little more. How can we sit in a sermon? I'm going to tell you, it has nothing to do with me. How can we sit and hear anybody talk about the life-giving Word of God and go, oh, that was nice. God has given us victory. Tell the people, your Savior is coming. Your healing is coming. Your deliverance is coming. Your victory is coming. Your power is coming. And we celebrate Him. Why don't you bow your heads with me right now? If you're here today, and your plate's empty. You know what it's like to have that sweet move of the Spirit to feast on. But it's empty now. And you want some more? I want you to raise the flag. How are we going to raise the flag, Pastor? In just a moment, you're going to come to this altar. And you're going to stand. I want you to stand across the front. I'm going to come pray with you. When you raise the flag at Poncho's, the waiter comes, and he brings you the sopapillas. When you raise that flag today, in a few moments you come, I'm going to be your waiter. And I'm going to come, and I'm going to deliver to you the sweet, sweet power of the Holy Ghost. It's not by my strength, but God is going to move through me. I feel Him moving through me right now. In a few moments, if you're here and you say, God's done something great in my life, I want you to tell the people. We're not going to do testimony service. Here's how you're going to tell the people. You're going to get come up here too. And when I come and pray for you, you're just going to begin to praise Him. You're just going to celebrate, and then you're going to let yourself be free enough to worship God. Free enough to worship God. That may mean singing, that may mean crying, that may be kneeling down on your knees, that may be running. I don't care how it is. You're going to be free enough to celebrate God. But if you're here and you've been struggling, you got pain, you got heartache, you got doubts, you got fears, you're like the lame man. Feels like you can't get up and get on your feet. You're like the blind man. You just can't see your way out of the situation. I've got news for you. Jesus is coming by. Jesus is coming. And I want you to come up here, and I want you to trust Him. And when I come to you and I lay hands on you, I believe that God is going to do the miraculous in your life. You can choose to stay where you're at. And you can leave here just like you came. Pastor, it's a Sunday morning. It's late. We got to get home. Or you can choose to get out of your seat. And you can choose to start the celebration. Are you hungry? Do you need to praise? Do you have a need? Jesus to come by. Right now as I pray, I want you to come stand across front of this church. Dear Heavenly Father, right now, Lord, I pray that you would release men and women, boys and girls, Lord Jesus, to come and stand in your presence. Lord Jesus, prepare to receive of your power. Prepare to receive of your anointing. Prepare to receive of your strength and your mercy and your grace. Lord Jesus, right now, Lord, I ask victory to flow in Jesus' name right now. Lord Jesus, raise the banner in her life. Lord Jesus, right now, come by. Come by, Lord, right now and do a miraculous work, Lord Jesus. Send your power, send your anointing, send your victory, send your peace, Lord Jesus. Lord, celebration, Lord Jesus.
Clothed in majesty,
fill her up, Lord. Lord, that sweet, sweet power of healing, of victory, of deliverance, Lord Jesus.